وبركاته. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال: سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله تعالى؟ قال: الصلاة على وقتها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة معراج المؤمن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم إنا نسألك خيرها وخير ما فيها وخير ما أرسلت به، ونعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما فيها وشر ما أرسلت به. On the 27th of Rajab, Alhamdulillah, right now we are in the 25th of Rajab, the masajid are generally full, as people gather to listen to talks being delivered regarding the great incident of Mi'raj, which took place on the 27th of Rajab. Whilst there are many aspects that are related to Mi'raj, the most important thing that pertains to us daily is the gift that was granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the occasion of Mi'raj. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam proceeded to the seven heavens and beyond, and he met his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he granted him the gift of salah. Such was the importance of salah that its hukum and its injunction was not revealed whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked on this heavenly earth like the other ahkam of deen. Rather, it was saved for the special occasion beyond the seven heavens. An obedient child, he attaches great importance to the parting advice of his father. He will try his utmost to fulfill it and strictly follow it and strictly adhere to it. One of the last words that emanated from the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before leaving this world was with regard to upholding the injunction and the hukum of salah. Ummi Salama radiyallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say during his final illness, "As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum." Safeguard your salah and take care of your subordinates. He kept on repeating these words until his tongue could no longer speak clearly. As ummatis and followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should be asking ourselves, at the time of Fajr, do I remember the impassioned idea of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he parted from this world with the regard to upholding the injunction of salah? The same should be considered with regard to Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. When the tills are ringing with regard to Maghrib and Isha while the other attractions are also in the way, are we remembering the injunction of Salah at this time? Furthermore, the very first aspect that a person will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah will be regarding his Salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, indeed, the first deed which a servant will be accountable for on the day of Qiyamah is his salah. If it is in order, then he is successful and he will be saved. But if it is defective, he will have failed and he will be from amongst the losers. A simple example to understand the importance of salah in our life is given through electricity. That was just an example. Nowadays, people can wake up in one country, they can eat lunch in another country, and they can go to sleep in a third country. From any region of the planet, we can use the internet to book our room in the intercontinental hotels or transfer funds across thousands of kilometers in a blink of an eye. We can communicate across opposing hemispheres in just seconds and enjoy the produce and products of diverse countries in our own locality. You go to the shops and you can find something from Pakistan, something from Afghanistan, something from India, something from Europe, something from Arab Peninsula. You can find it all in one locality. However, all of this has been made possible through electricity. Without electricity, we would have no flights, no LED lighting, and almost every single invention and comfort that we enjoy, from the microwave to the cooker, even our automated doors in our cars and our driveway gates would lose its function and be of very little benefit to anybody. It is thus clear that electricity provides and plays a pivotal and important role in the grand scheme of everything, giving power to technology and allowing it to function. Similarly, my beloved brothers, salah is such a crucial ibadah in the life of a believer that it has a direct impact on all other branches of deen in a person's life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, As-salatu imadud deen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that salah is a pillar of deen. Thus, if a person's salah is in order, his entire deen will be in order. As-salah is like the electric current that gives him the spiritual charge, assisting him and motivating him towards good deeds. If one's salah is lacking in any way, the negative impact will definitely be witnessed in other aspects of his deen. People understand that they are dependent on electricity and energy in all areas of their lives, and so they attach great importance to paying the electricity bill, anxious that if we do not pay it, we will be disconnected from the national grid. We should realize that the disastrous loss incurred through neglecting one salah has been likened to a person losing all his wealth and losing all his family. Over and above the sin that a person gathers and incurs, one is actually cut off from the national grid and left with a powerless iman. The result is that he feels no motivation and inclination whatsoever to carry out good deeds, and he cannot have the ability to stay away from sin. Neglecting salah is such a sin that causes a breakdown in other parts of a person's deen. On one occasion, when Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was stabbed, Miswar bin Makrama radiallahu anhu came to see him. On entering, he found Umar radiallahu anhu covered with a sheet and he was unconscious. Miswar radiallahu anhu asked those present, "How is he?" They replied, "He is as you can see," meaning he's unconscious. Miswar radiallahu anhu thus advised them, "Wake him up by calling him for salah, as there is nothing that you can awaken him for that is more urgent and important to him than salah." Accepting this suggestion, they called out, "As-salah, O Amir al-Mu'mineen." As soon as they did this, Umar radiallahu anhu awoke and exclaimed, "Yes, by Allah, there is no share in Islam for the one who neglects salah." Umar radiallahu anhu thereafter performed his salah whilst blood flowed from his wounds. Umar radiallahu anhu truly understood the value and importance of salah in Islam and the life of a Muslim. Hence, even in his final moments, when his wound was flowing with blood, he ensured that he performed salah. In fact, he even mentioned that a person who neglects salah has no share in Islam. Furthermore, the fear of missing salah was so strong in Umar radiallahu anhu that they used to call the prayer for salah to revive him from being unconscious. Today, there are people who will wake up early in the early hours of the morning to frequent the gym, travel to work, or even catch a flight. Come what may, they ensure that they wake up on time for school or whatever it is. However, when it comes to the Fajr prayer, let alone leaving the home and going to the masjid, they fail to even wake up and perform it at home even. When Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum began turning blind, he was advised to have it treated. However, the treatment required him to leave out salah, normally an offering it lying down with signs, for a few days. So he refused. He said that, "I don't want to pray with ishara," saying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever omits and leaves his salah will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with him." Salah was so dear to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een and meant so much to them that they could bear the challenges of remaining blind for the rest of their lives but could not tolerate the missing of a few salah. On the other hand, missing salah for lame excuses is absolutely nothing normal for us. It's become very normal for us. More tragic than missing salah is perhaps the lack of any regret that we feel or any remorse that we feel over missing it, due to having becoming so used to having missing one salah after the other. The kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such, my beloved brothers, that although salah is such a hukum and an injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a responsibility upon each and every single one of us, He has promised great rewards and many benefits for the one who performs it. Many of these virtues have been recorded in Sahih al-Hadith, in Sahih Ahadith, especially by the likes of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi in his renowned and exemplary books. It is essential that we read these books and learn from the ulama so that we can value the position of salah in our lives. One of the many benefits of salah is that a person who is punctual with his salah, together with all of his etiquettes and devotion, develops a spiritual strength within him, and it makes it easy for him to resist the temptations of sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salah, inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal-munkar." Recite what is revealed to you of the book and establish salah. Verily, salah restrains and protects a person from shameful and evil acts. Furthermore, if a person does commit any minor sin, then salah becomes a means of the sin being forgiven. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, "Tell me, if there is a river flowing at the door of one of you and he bathes in it 5 times a day, can any dirt remain on that person?" The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een answered, "No dirt can remain on his body." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "So exactly like this is the example of the 5 daily salah. Allah erases the sins of a person through these salah." The concern of most people is that of sustenance, of rizq. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the close link between punctuality of salah and receiving of sustenance. He says, "Wa'mur ahlaka bis-salati wastabir 'alayha la nas'aluka rizqa nahnu narzuquk." Instruct your family to perform salah and adhere to it yourself. We do not ask you for sustenance, we will give you the sustenance from us. Under the explanation of this verse, the great commentator of the Quran, Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, explains, "When you are punctual on your salah, sustenance and rizq will come to you from sources and avenues and places that you could never even think of." How unfortunate is it that salah is often delayed or even totally discarded due to preoccupation in business and seeking rizq? This is due to having forgotten that we do not grant rizq to ourselves. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants us rizq. Hence, to continue to do business at the time of salah will most definitely not have any profit in Islamic terminology, since what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares a loss can be no benefit to anybody. Hence, salah must be given the first priority. Even if it means that we have to abandon 100 customers, we will give priority to our salah. In order for a person to do something, he requires the cooperation of those around him. Hence, instructing one's family to perform salah is a strategy to make one committed to salah himself. When you give hukum and you give advice to somebody else, it is more likely that you will act upon it yourself as well. Together with this, inculcating salah in the life of one's family is extremely important, my beloved listeners. For 6 months after the revelation of the above ayah, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, about from 6 months after the revelation of this ayah, when leaving for Fajr prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would announce outside the home of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and his daughter Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, it is the time of salah, O my family. Similarly, it was the habit of Umar radiallahu anhu that after spending a portion of the night in tahajjud salah, when the night would be coming to an end, he would awaken his family for salah whilst reciting the verse, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Such was the concern for salah that one of the du'as of Nabi Ibrahim alayhim salam was, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O my Rabb, make me steadfast in salah and make my offspring and my progeny steadfast upon salah as well. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding his son, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam's son, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. And he used to enjoin salah and zakah upon his family. If our children lose a large sum of money and they come to a huge loss in their business, we will immediately reprimand him and adopt measures to make sure that it does not happen again. Does it ever disturb us when our children miss their salah? The one who is responsible for the upbringing of the child has to ensure that the basics of deen, meaning salah, is ingrained into this child. Do they know the etiquettes of salah? Do they know the arkan of salah? Do they know the alfaz of salah? Do they know all of these things? And are we being punctual in encouraging them? The deep concern that the parents of the past had for salah of their children can be clearly understood from the following incident. Abdul Aziz bin Marwan, he had sent his young son, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh, to the blessed city of Medina Munawwara, to acquire the knowledge of deen and to learn the adab and the etiquettes from the great personalities and the great ulama residing there. One of these personalities was Salih bin Kaysan, rahmatullahi alayhi, to whom Abdul Aziz wrote a letter requesting him to pay special attention to the upbringing and development of his own son, Umar radiallahu, rahmatullahi alayhi. Salih bin Kaysan, rahmatullahi alayhi, is the person responsible for seeing to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, would emphasize that perform all his salah with the congregation in the masjid. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he was once delayed and he missed the salah in the masjid. When Salih bin Kaysan asked him as to why he had missed the salah, he replied, "My slave girl was doing braids in my hair." Salih bin Kaysan, rahmatullahi alayhi, was deeply disappointed and remarked, "The importance that you show to braiding your hair has caused you to prefer your own looks over your salah." Salih bin Kaysan, rahmatullahi alayhi, thereafter wrote a letter to Abdul Aziz, who was the governor of Egypt at the time, informing him of what had happened to his son. Abdul Aziz, on reading the letter, was so affected that he immediately sent a messenger to Medina Munawwara. The messenger had strict instructions to shave the entire head of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz before even speaking to him, let alone making salah qadha. Abdul Aziz could not tolerate that his son missed one jama'ah in the masjid. This was the worry and concern that people of the past had for their children performing salah. Where is our concern for our children? Just as the performance of salah is important, carrying it out in the correct manner is equally important. At times, the salah may be rendered invalid due to negligence in this respect. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered the masjid, but then somebody else entered, performed salah, and then greeted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to his salam and then said, "Go back and perform salah, for verily you have not offered salah." So the man went, performed salah again, as he did the first time, and then he returned and greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with salam. After returning his greetings and returning the greetings of salam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Again, go back and perform your salah, for verily you have not performed salah." On the third occasion, the man said, "By the one who has sent you with the truth, I cannot do better than this, so please teach me." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When you wake up for salah, say takbir. When you stand and you stand for salah, say takbir. Say the Allahu Akbar. Then recite what you know of the Quran. Then bow down. Then remain in the state till you are at ease. Then raise your head and stand up straight. Then prostrate till you are at ease. And then sit until you are at ease. Do this in your entire salah." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on one occasion, he said, "The worst of thieves is the one who steals from his salah." And then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how does a person steal from his salah?" He replied, "Those who do not perform their ruku' and sajda properly." My beloved brothers, just as we perform salah, it should not be like a woodpecker pecking the floor, for rather we should be performing salah calmly with all of the arkan. Furthermore, offering salah in jama'ah for males is extremely important. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, "The one who wishes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Muslim on the Day of Judgment should be punctual in the performance of his 5 daily salah in congregation." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed the clear ways of guidance for his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is also from amongst the ways of guidance. If we too will adopt the ways of those who perform their salah at their homes, we will be abandoning the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence we will be led astray. The one who performs wudu and leaves for the masjid, for every step he takes, he will get one reward. He is elevated one stage in Jannah, and one of his sins are forgiven. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only an open hypocrite would not join the jama'ah. Even a sick person would be carried by 2 people and brought to the masjid to perform his salah in jama'ah. The severity of not offering salah with jama'ah can be clearly understood from the following hadith. "By that being who has control over my life, I intend gathering some firewood. I would then instruct somebody to call out the adhan and perform the salah whilst I go and set fire to the homes of those people who perform salah in their homes without any proper excuse." That Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, who was a mercy unto the worlds, is expressing his desire. Hence, the seriousness of this issue is more than evidence. Whilst there are many reasons for the present pitiful condition of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the world, one of the main reasons is the neglect and the ghafla of this fundamental hukum of deen, which is salah. Whilst we try doing various things to assist the ummah in forms of our sadaqah and all other various things that we try to do, it is of prior importance, it is of extreme importance that we become punctual on the performance of the 5 daily prayers in the correct manner and make an effort to bring others onto salah as well. Without this, it will be wishful thinking to expect that the condition of the ummah will change for the better. Without this proper fulfillment of salah and all of the other ahkam of deen, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us. This was exactly the same solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to the Banu Israel when they were being persecuted by Fir'aun. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. And we revealed to Musa alayhi salam and his brother that have homes for your people in Egypt and make your homes places of worship and establish salah. The reason for them being instructed to make their homes into places of worship was that Fir'aun had destroyed the places in which they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz ibn al-Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi explains, when the persecution of Fir'aun and his people intensified and they constricted the Banu Israel, they were commanded to offer salah in abundance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. O you who believe, seek assistance through patience and salah. It is mentioned in the hadith of Sunan Abu Dawood that anything that worried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about anything, he would engage in salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, my beloved listeners, give me the ability to be punctual upon salah, upon its correct time, with all of its etiquette. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every single one of us here the ability to adhere to salah with jama'ah, and give us the ability to instruct our children and family members upon this as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these severe winds. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayriha wa khayra ma fiha wa khayra ma ursilat bih wa na'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma ursilat bih. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
اللهم رب هذه دعوة الحمد للوسيل والوسيل الذي وتعرض لنا الشفاعة يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف المعاد رحمتك يا أرحم